The arguments, however, of many of our members have been just as persuasive and just as powerful as Hollywood has done. Ron Chris said to a jury, matter of fact, the one thing about looking at 105 transcripts, I can tell you this, that the very words you used will be used again. The jurors will not know that you were the author, because quite frankly, I won't tell them. The best analogy I can think of is a torch that relayers pass from runner to runner in the Olympics, the torch of justice, and that each juror must do justice in order for our judicial system to breathe and be alive. No jury can expect any greater measure of justice by future juries than they are willing to administer themselves today. You are the conscience of the community in this case. You are the ones who put a value on a man's health and freedom to enjoy life. The torch of justice really has been passed on to this jury today, and whether it is allowed to flicker and die or to brilliantly illuminate truth and fairness, honesty and justice is solely your responsibility. Nancy Cohen, it's much more difficult to be difficult on an insurance coverage case. In winning this case for the full amount of the policy, the $50 million, she said, you know that your insurer should be more than a premium collector. Have you seen the television commercial for the insurance company whose slogan, quote, no one said that keeping a promise is easy, but we do. Well, not always. So like their promise about the delay in restarting the pipeline for what they are worth, a failure to keep that promise when it wasn't easy, and expect of them what you would if you needed their help. Expect them to keep their word, their promise, and pay the claim. Pierce O'Donnell tried a case against Paramount. Art Buchwald had scratched out 17 words on the back of an envelope and gave it to Paramount as an idea for a film. The film came out and they didn't attribute any of the work to Art Buchwald's efforts until, of course, the case was tried. O'Donnell said, Victor Hugo once said, greater than the marching of mighty armies is an idea whose time has come. Under its agreement with Art Buchwald, Paramount bought an extraordinary idea for a movie. It was not an ordinary idea. It was created by a great writer and humorist. There are at least 35 points of similarity between Buchwald's treatment and the Paramount script Coming to America. In the final analysis, Coming to America is born of the same father whose DNA is indelibly imprinted on the world. That DNA belongs to Art Buchwald, the creative genius. Robert Baker showed maybe more than persuasion. He testified, matter of fact, on a limitations bill on medical malpractice cases. He testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee several years ago. A very similar bill is up there now. The interesting thing is, as Jim Boswick said the other day, at the time of this, Mr. Baker was involved in being a defense lawyer primarily for medical malpractice carriers. On June 22nd, before the House Judiciary Subcommittee, the majority of my personal practice for the last 20 years has been devoted to defending physicians at the request of their medical malpractice insurance carriers. In my opinion, the malpractice reforms have aided insurance companies, but have done to no insignificant extent been detrimental to the person who has been injured by medical negligence. To conclude, it is my view, based upon a significant amount of experience in the California experience, that a reduction in health care cost is not going to be achieved by any purported medical malpractice reform. But what will occur is that the victims of medical negligence will have a decreased opportunity for fairness. As luck would have it, that was on a Friday before the subcommittee. And on Monday, two vans rolled up from the three medical malpractice insurance carriers and took every single case out of Bob Baker's office. I said before about the ability of one of our members here to do a lot with the wink. Joe Jamail has never winked at anybody. But nevertheless, he did have some of the same principles of giving great respect to the jury. I ask you to remember, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that you are in a once-in-a-lifetime situation. It won't happen again. It just won't happen again. You have a chance to right a wrong, a grievous wrong, a serious wrong. It's going to take some courage. You've got that. Is going to take a logical re-examination of what went on. You don't have to read everything. You remember better than anyone else what happened in this courtroom. If you come to the conclusion, as I hope and believe that you will, under all the evidence in this case, that a grievous wrong has been done to Pennzoil by reason of Texaco's undoing this binding agreement, undoing their intent, undoing the meeting of the minds, ladies and gentlemen, a deal is a deal. A handshake is a handshake. No verdict. Less than $7.5 billion and $7.5 billion in punitives is enough to dent them. Texaco has already saved from $10 to $40 billion by their own statements by breaking their agreement with us. I know you're going to do the right thing. You are people of morality and conscience and strength. Don't let this opportunity pass you. Bob Parks was arguing a wrongful death case. One sentence, according to the people who were in the courtroom, took this very difficult wrongful death case into a huge verdict. The void, the anguish, the misery that you go through every second of every day and every night of thinking of the loss of a son, for whom and to whom you had given so much and had received so much. This is what it's all about. Certain lawyers, and matter of fact, when I first read this next transcript, it didn't make as much sense to me. It wasn't quite as powerful as then after I talked to the lawyer who tried the case, he explained to me where his body was positioned. This was a medical malpractice case, a failure to diagnose breast cancer in a woman. She was, and matter of fact, at time of trial, she wasn't even able to attend trial because she was so sick. She was in the last throes of the disease. This lawyer argued the case with his back to the jury, facing the defendant doctor who was sitting at defense counsel table. He said, "My name is Edith Hancock. I'm 59 years old. I know a lot about the third grade. I've been teaching the third grade for more than 35 years. But I don't know anything, Dr. Russell, about this cancer. I have this lump in my breast. It's on one side. I'm worried about it because my mother died of breast cancer, and her mother before her died of breast cancer. So please, Dr. Russell, don't let me down. Please do what you're supposed to do. If you're supposed to do a mammogram, do it. If you're supposed to do a needle biopsy, do it. Because if you don't, this cancer will spread into the lymph nodes. And then there'll be a day when not only am I not teaching the third grade, I won't even be at the trial about this case." Joe Cachette represented Gallo in a case against Kendall Jackson. The case was filled with claims against Gallo as client of fraud, deceit, conspiracy, and every other bad tort that you can possibly think of. He tried the case before a jury up in San Francisco. The jury consisted of African Americans, Asians, Latinos. And in arguing the case, Joe realized he had to somehow connect his real clients, as opposed to Gallo Incorporated, to the jury. The marketing person was an African-American by the name of Bobby White. The director of advertising was Manuel Rodriguez, obviously a Latino. The finance director of the company was Suzanne Choi. And Joe Cachette argued his case in the first row of the spectator seats. And seated before him was Susan, Manuel, and Bobby. And he argued behind them. And he said, they are saying that Manuel was a fraud. They're saying Susan was deceitful. They're saying that there was intentional misrepresentation of all of these people. And they're asking you to brand these people with these crimes for the rest of their lives. Despite the fact that there was some fairly strong evidence for Kendall in the case, the jury somehow decided that it would return a verdict in favor of the defendant. Bill Williams was a quadriplegic. It was a medical malpractice case. The lawyer was going to argue the case, a member of this academy. And he got up to the jury and he said, you know, a case like this, of course, is very important. And what lawyers sometimes do is to look and go back and see what other lawyers have said in similar cases. And I read, ladies and gentlemen, I read what a bunch of other lawyers had said when someone has no use of his arms and no use of his legs in a case. And I read other lawyers who talked to juries, and they talked in terms of the fact that this person could no more run down a parkway, that this person, because of having no movement of his arms and in his legs, could never have a little baby. Could never take that baby and throw him up in the air and catch him. And I read all those things that other lawyers have said. And I was going to say those to you, except, you know, I had lunch yesterday with Mr. Williams in this very courthouse cafeteria, I think, where you all eat as well. And I have one thing to tell you that maybe is much more important than all those things his other lawyers said in having one meal with Mr. Williams. He eats like a dog. You know, I've saved the last comment here, the last of these agreements, of these arguments, because I think in this particular argument, it gives me the same feeling I have, really, towards the International Academy. You know, this has been so wonderful for me. Without this, we would have never known one another. We would have never been together. And because of it, we get to be together all the time. You know, as I listened to the last 18 inductees to come into this organization, I thought that it was interesting how I got into it, matter of fact. But how much new life and new stories and that we will now have because of them. This case was tried in Oregon. The lawyer who tried the case, it was a wrongful death case of Jonathan Fox. Jonathan Fox was 31 years of age. He had a doctorate from Stanford. He was killed on a construction site. And the reason he was on the construction site, he was a designer and so forth. And he left a widow of, they were only married for 7 months. There were no children. The Helen Fox was a very pretty woman. And clearly the lawyer understood that most of the jurors deep down inside would know that Helen Fox, her life was not over, even though this was a very tragic thing. He said the following to the jury. He said, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I tried this case like a lawyer would try it. I brought in the Dean of Stanford to show the great promise of Jonathan Fox. I brought in three people who had patents with Jonathan Fox that were actually being used in the construction industry. I did all this to prove to you the great ability of Jonathan Fox and what Jonathan Fox probably would do in the future. I did this because I tried the case like a lawyer. Quite honestly, if I were trying this case like Helen Fox, I wouldn't have said any of those things. I simply would have said, I don't like clever conversation. I don't want to work that hard. I love everything about you. I love you just the way you are. Thanks very much.